until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And I think we've really left the best forum until last, sorry, to the other three wards. But Brownbill is the central ward. It's the most hotly contested. And that's why we have a very exciting panel here today. To answer your questions, we've got Alex Sadner, Sarah Hathaway, Alan Saar, Peter Mitchell, Mick Eit, Sarah Mansfield, Michael King, Eddie Contell, George Ballas, Melissa Cadwell, Peter Murray, and Freya Fidge. Please welcome our panel. So up to three of the people sitting here today could be our next ward councillor for Brownbill. According to our election calculator at mitchellsfrontpage.com, to get elected, they'll need to get 13,927 votes, or just over 25%, either in their own right or via preferences from the other candidates. The forum that we have here today represents 12 out of the 18 candidates. We've contacted every candidate with an invite for today. I've only received two apologies. They were from Sue Bull and Terry Gillard. We're broadcasting this forum live on 94.7 FM. The forum is being streamed at 947thepulse.com, and our podcast will be up at 947thepulse.com and mitchellsfrontpage.com after the forum. To those in the audience, let one of the people here know, maybe David behind the panel, if you'd like to ask a question. We'll get a microphone over to you. Also, we will have the opportunity for people to put their questions up on the screen on Twitter using the hashtag BrownBill. So if you want to get your tweet up there, do that. The forum will work like this, in this format. We'll have opening statements from each candidate. They will go for 2 minutes, and then closing statements will be 2 minutes. In between that, we will be taking questions. So every answer will also be capped at 2 minutes. Liam, the man behind me, will have his bell. He'll be ringing the bell once at 90 seconds. That will indicate to candidates that they have 30 seconds remaining, and then he'll ring twice at 2 minutes, which will indicate that time has expired. So without any further ado, we've got no time to waste. Let's move through to opening statements, and I'll run the shuffle. And up first is Sarah Mansfield.
Thank you. I'd first like to acknowledge that we're meeting today on Wathaurong land and pay my respects to any Aboriginal people who are here today or listening over the radio, and to their elders past, present and future. As a general practitioner, it really doesn't take long to realise that the things that have the biggest impact on people's health and well-being aren't medicines or surgery, but our social and physical environment. Things like clean air, housing, transport, our built environment, access to green spaces, nutrition, financial security, social connectedness. These are things that are hard to address as a doctor, but can be influenced by the policy decisions that our politicians make. And if there's any level of government that can have an impact on the social and environmental factors that affect people's health, it's local government. And that's why I've chosen to run for the upcoming council elections with the Greens. The Geelong region fares worse than the state average on a range of public health measures, including obesity, smoking, drinking rates, nutrition and mental health. If elected, I believe I would bring a valuable perspective and skill set to council, including expertise in public health, health economics and policy, and a broad professional and community network, particularly amongst the biggest employers in the region, the health and university sectors. I have a track record of hard work and commitment to deliver outcomes. As a councillor, the major outcome I would work with my fellow councillors to achieve is an improvement in the community's health and wellbeing. I believe this can be accomplished through a range of measures such as building safer and better connected active transport, facilitating greater participation in community sports, supporting community services that promote social connection like our libraries and infant and child health services, protecting our natural environment and green spaces, taking local action on climate change and ensuring sustainable development to support our growing population. Thank you.
Alan Saar.
Hi, sorry. I'd like to begin by acknowledging that we are on Wathaurong land as well, and pay my respects to owners past, present and future, and any elders that might be present here today. I'm a stay-at-home mum of two who chose to move to this great city of Geelong 6 years ago. I found it a great place to raise my family. Being a mother of two, I believe that I'm skilled in negotiation, listening and helping to provide solutions to any problems that arise. My council approach is all abilities, all ages and all inclusive of everybody. I hope that with Vote One Ellen that I may be able to provide a voice for you.
Mick Eit.
And I too would like to begin with acknowledging our traditional custodians of the land. I would like to talk, and I hear people talking a lot about the future as if it was something that we need to look into a crystal ball to find out, and it's some sort of a mystery. Nobody knows what's coming. But that's wrong. We actually know a lot about
what's on its way. And we need to respond to that. And this is a response. The clever and creative future vision is a response to that. That's a 30-year plan, a suggestion to how we can move forward in Geelong. And this new council actually has the option to set the agenda with our eyes on this plan and make it into reality so that we can have a city that thrives. Just around the corner is a world where shuttle buses will be driving without drivers, where we stop polluting the air, where we have found smarter ways to deal with our garbage. We will be recycling more. We'll stop filling up the landfills as we do now. It'll be a world where everything that moves and heats and cools is electric. And I tell you that with a certainty. The problems that we have in this city with drugs, with graffiti, with crime, with depression, mental health, obesity, health and well-being and all these matters, these are not problems we can cure with some sort of a miracle pill coming from council. These are people problems. And to understand how people feel, we need to listen. And that's the first and foremost job for the new council. It is to listen what's happening in our city. When people feel that they're being listened to, they also respond positively towards that. We need to create an atmosphere of optimism where we engage everyone in the city. But the first thing we need to do is to be connected, to be united around that. So we don't need more voting, how to vote cards that puts people in ranking. That's a really bad start for a council, I'm sorry to say. We need a council that will work together, where we can deal across politics and where we can deal across our different interests and so on and speak on behalf of the community. Listen to the community.
Thank you, Mick. Peter Murray.
Good morning, all. I too acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the morning listeners, and morning to those in the audience. I'm 57, married, lived in the Brownbull ward for over 35 years, raised our children there, have gone to school there, and Brownbull ward is my patch. I've been involved in a number of sporting groups, sporting clubs over my time. I'm right through all those, that period of time actually, and still involved. I believe I recognise what ratepayers expect of council and councillors. I've got no political connections. I offer a totally independent voice on council. And I'm running for council because I believe I can make a difference, and I believe I can make a difference. There are a number of issues that people raise with me, but I think what the average ratepayer expects of a councillor is the council services, the garbage, the footpaths, trees, you know, cut back. They don't expect huge, huge things, but as councillors, we have to deal with those. So I'm independent, no political connections at all. And as I say, I believe I can make a difference, and that's why I'm standing and passionate about Geelong. Thank you very much.
Michael King.
Thank you. Good morning, listeners, and thanks to Pulse for the opportunity of this morning. My name is Michael King. I want Geelong to be a modern, smart city. Be an inclusive place that supports arts and culture, a place that can attract new business and employment, be a safe city that offers a high quality of life and excellent council services, and to be able to speak with one voice. I want to become a councillor because I believe there is a lot I can do to help Geelong reach its full potential. I'll bring to council a commitment to make hard decisions in the best interest of all ratepayers, driving transparency, accountability and change. I want to help employers by reducing red tape. I want to help try and end the terrible crime wave we're facing. I have no hidden agenda. My main motivation is simply to represent ratepayers and the community. There is a lot I can do to help Geelong reach its potential. I have the passion, skill set and ability to work as part of a collaborative team to make Geelong a better place. I have no hidden agenda. My motivation is simply to represent ratepayers and the community. A little bit about my background. I've had extensive leadership experience, including being chair of Barwon Water, which has an annual turnover of more than $200 million, of a deep understanding of Geelong's social and economic fabric,
I've served on numerous boards and organisations at a national and state level across sectors such as sport, particularly cricket in Geelong, education with Deakin University and the Gordon Institute, small business, more recently disability, aged care and employment sectors through St Lawrence, and I've owned and operated a business in Geelong for over 30 years. And I'd like the opportunity to be your voice on council. Thank you.
Freya Fidge.
Good morning and thank you for having me. My name is Freya Fidge. I was born and bred in Geelong and my family have had strong connections with Geelong and the community. Geelong is a great place to live and I'm excited by the opportunities for our city. I want to be part of the team that makes well-informed decisions for this great city whilst also ensuring that we reflect the views of the community. I believe that a successful Geelong is one that values diversity, connects with community and provides opportunity for the future. Using collaboration and our positive networks, we can future-proof our city and ensure that we can compete on both the national and global scale for growth and success. I am a supporter of the recently executed Clever and Creative Initiative for Geelong. This is the project that was developed for the council by the community and it provides us with our platform for our city's vision. Whilst our core services are the fundamentals and we need to continue to maintain this focus, I will also personally champion the proposals that enable the continued growth and opportunity for our city and communities, and this will help us achieve our 30-year vision. I'm an HR professional with extensive experience across a breadth of industries, and that includes local government. My values are built upon high integrity, respect and collaboration, which I believe will enable the new council to succeed. If elected, I will listen respectfully, I will seek to understand and I will lead by example. I am real, I'm pragmatic and I do not claim to be an expert in all matters relating to Geelong, but I am willing and excited to learn from all perspectives. In listening to the experts, seeking opinion from the community and engaging with stakeholders in business, tourism and government to make informed decisions that are best for our city, Geelong. Thank you.
Alexander.
Good morning, listeners. My name is Alec Sandner. I'm a new resident of Geelong, so I'm truly independent. I'm not tied to any group or political party. I was mayor of the city of Greater Bendigo 2011-12, so I have recent local government experience at the highest level. As your councillor, I will work positively and harmoniously with my fellow councillors to create a council that you will respect and be proud of. I'm a qualified accountant. I'm a qualified property investment advisor with the emphasis on investment advisor. I'm not a property developer, nor is my campaign funded by real estates or developers. It is self-funded. And I'm a retired Justice of the Peace. As a councillor, I will advocate for the Chilwell, Highton and Barwon Heads libraries to remain open. I will advocate for the mediation of all disputes between council and ratepayers by mediation and not through the courts. And I would like to see a dedicated planning officer allocated to each planning permit so that consistency in the determination of the permit is maintained. I believe in the creative and innovative future for Geelong, and I make some comments on that. Australia, Southeast Asia and China will become the largest concentration of middle-class people in the world, so there's an opportunity for us to provide world-standard education and health for that region. Deakin and Gordon should rank in the top universities of the world and the health services likewise. I look forward to serving you as a councillor in the city of Geelong.
Melissa Cadwell.
Hi, my name is Melissa Cadwell. I'm running in the Brownbill Ward. Like you, I'm a ratepayer and resident in the Brownbill Ward in St Albans Park. Geelong High School educated, I'm a public health research ethics manager at Melbourne Health and was formerly at Barwon Health. I am an Australian Labor Party member and a member of my workplace union. I am also a member of the Women in Local Democracy and Emily's List. I fully support the principles of the Victorian Local Government Charter, our Women's Charter. I want to see more women, especially passionate, capable, ethical, values-oriented women, elected to the City of Greater Geelong Council, because I want to see a council that makes decisions that reflects the progressive values that we all believe in. I want to ensure that the council makes decisions that reflect the need and aspirations of all of its citizens, particularly women, working women, stay-at-home mums, students, older women, retirees and pensioners. I want to make Geelong an even better place to live and raise a family in making sure that Geelong Council services aren't cut whilst keeping costs affordable for residents. I'm committed to better elderly citizen services, including proper home care and Meals on Wheels funding, making sure childcare and leisure centre fees are kept affordable, Geelong Council procurement tendering to demand local jobs and services, making apprenticeships compulsory in the council tendering service process, facilities upgrades for local sporting clubs with an emphasis on women's sport, saving the Chilwell Library and upgrading the Newcombe Library to help local children learn to read, giving residents a say on planning decisions, high-density development and gambling and licensed venues, and stopping council introducing paid parking in the Geelong suburbs. Thank you.
George Ballas.
Good morning, Mitchell, and good morning, listeners and the audience here. My name's George Ballas. I'm an independent and totally self-funded candidate for Brownville. I have no membership or connection with any party, any political party. I stand to represent the people, and I believe that I can make a difference at council with bringing some sense and sensibility back to council and stop the bickering and the infighting by following good governance and hopefully some respect of fellow councillors. I have represented the multicultural community here in Geelong for many years in different capacities, in different roles, in leadership roles, and it was the organisation of Diversitat that probably saved this station from folding. So I see in the audience a number of people from those backgrounds. Geelong has a long history, is going through a renaissance. Sure, we must have a plan to work to the future, but what we need to do is lift our game in terms of tourism. I have moved around the world for the last 12 months, and tourism is here, but not in large numbers. So we need to work Avalon at a maximum. We need to continue with the education sector, which is a very big employer now. We need to look after the smaller groups. More importantly, though, the individuals, especially the disadvantaged people, such as the pensioners, the aged, the frail, there needs to be more done for those people. There is a lot of items. You can have a look on my website, georgeballas.net. The time does not permit me to run through a lot of other things. I also wish my fellow candidates all the best in their candidacy.
Eddie Contell.
Good morning, everyone, and a big Geelong welcome to all of you. I also acknowledge the Wadawurrung people and Aboriginal elders, both past and present. I was born, raised and educated in North Geelong and born to parents who escaped the war-torn or former war-torn Yugoslavia to create a better life here in Australia for us. And with English as their second language, I certainly understand the challenges and opportunities that diversity and multicultural can present. In fact, as a former councillor, I held the portfolios for multicultural, Aboriginal affairs and also finance. Over the past 2 years, I believe the region's progress has stagnated, and it's imperative that we now take not only a long-term approach to our planning with the clever and creative strategy, but also to have a real sense for the here and now. We must take our service provisions, which is the core responsibility of council, from good to great and to reduce the financial burden on Geelong residents. To kickstart our CBD, we must introduce levels of free parking in the CBD and around our hospitals. I'll also push to introduce hard waste collection in all suburbs, and that will also reduce the financial burden on our residents. With the team, I will work to reform our planning and building application processes. This will be done in order to allow appropriate investment and businesses to enter our region and create valuable work and employment opportunities. I'll also push to improve our safety and security and to improve the services we need to invest in roads, drainage, footpaths and much-needed cycling and fishing infrastructure. Supporting our sporting groups, community clubs and groups, and also our military veterans is also of the utmost importance to me. with significant corporate, private business experience and also government and community groups. It is these capabilities and expertise that I look to bring to council to represent the residents and community of the Brownbill Ward.
Sarah Hathaway.
I too would like to begin by acknowledging that we're meeting on Wadawurrung land, and I pay my respects to ancestors past, present and future, and to any elders in the studio or listening in. My name is Sarah Hathaway. I'm a 27-year-old social work student at Deakin University. Myself and Sue Bull, who's an apology today, are both Socialist Alliance endorsed candidates for Brownbill Ward. As such, our agenda is to work with residents to build sustainable, just, healthy and livable neighbourhoods. Sue and I want to contribute to a council that is prepared to advocate for the most marginalised residents, from the isolated pensioners to the single-parent families and unemployed young people we have door-knocked in Newcombe and Whittington. We want to be part of a council that cares about people beyond just those who pay rates. Geelong is a community of great need, and those needs must be addressed by council. As such, Sue and I are committed to putting the needs of the community ahead of developer greed. Previously, we have seen council do exactly the opposite. By prioritising the needs of business, we have seen previous councils sell off valuable assets, supposedly to create jobs, but where are the big private employers now? We have also seen previous councillors completely disregard the wishes of residents in West Geelong over a three-storey development of private units that no one wanted. And I can tell you, after door-knocking those residents, they are still angry 2 years later. This leads to our next commitment to an open democratic council. We need open meetings and briefings so that residents can engage in democratic processes. Sue and I also fundamentally reject outsourcing and privatisation of council services, and we want to see a council that prioritises public housing, sustainability and climate change. We are heading towards 50-degree summer days, particularly in cities. Green spines, planting trees, green corridors are not just about things looking pretty. They will save lives. Thank you.
Thank you. Peter Mitchell.
Hi. Our last one. Lots of people talking so far. Quickly about myself, I first moved to Geelong in the mid-90s to take a job at CSIRO. I've lived here ever since. I've married here, raised a family. I've got three kids. The eldest has just finished year 12. So this is our home. This is where we live. I now commute to Melbourne every day. I would like to have a job in Geelong. I'd like to increase Geelong to a stage where I can find a job here that is suitable. To my mind, the biggest challenge we've got at the moment in Geelong is it's a city in transition. There's a lot of growth. There's a lot of things closing down. We're shifting from the industrial base to a more service-oriented town. That's causing disruption. We need to balance that. We need to work and control that change, make sure we hold on to the people we've got and don't let the people get lost by the wayside. That's just the Australian thing to do. But we need to reach for the future, because the future is there. The opportunities exist, but keep an eye on the past to make sure we keep our heritage and the background that we've had. What can council do in that area? Well, the clever and creative community, I'm fully on board on that. My training is in... I'm a scientist and a technologist. The clever side is what I do. My family are all very creative. We belong to that. The council role in this is probably to encourage new and innovative ideas, new industries, a new range of options and beginning new things so that everybody has something to do. There's new ideas, and the council needs to allow that without getting in the way, but making sure that everybody follows the rules and that due diligence is done. And as a councillor, as councillors, our role is to work together as a team to allow everything to happen smoothly and towards that single goal.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll go to questions now. And for those in the audience, if you'd like to ask a question, just make yourself known to David, I think, is the best way, and he'll get a microphone to you or work out a way to get you asking your question. If not, we'll go to questions that we've received online at mitchellsfrontpage.com/ask. As with the opening and closing statements, the timing will be the same, 2 minutes, but just to candidates, that is a limit, not a challenge. So if you can be more succinct than 2 minutes, that would be great, because then we can get to more questions. First question from Michael, and I think it's a different Michael than the one sitting here today. Some candidates are claiming that council services are going to be privatised. Do candidates believe that the council will privatise services? If yes, is this a good idea? And Freya Fidge, you're up first.
Thank you, Mitchell. I don't necessarily think that privatisation is the right answer for the council services, but what I think we need to do is ensure that we continue to provide the 126 services in the best capacity that we can. I think by understanding what it is that we need to deliver will help us actually deliver. So I do think it is it's a challenge, and as we continue to grow as a community and a city, the broader that our boundaries reach, the harder it will be for us to continue to provide those 126 services at the level that we need to. So thank you.
Michael King.
I think one of the real challenges for the new council will be to look at all the services and to work out which are the best ones, provide the best value for all the ratepayers. There was a report done for the previous council coming out of an effectiveness and efficiency review that made a number of recommendations. My understanding is that has been shelved. I think the new council should put everything absolutely on the table and then make the best decisions in terms of what's best for the ratepayers of Geelong. As to what that leads to, I really don't know. We've got some really very skilled council officers. We need to get them to provide the council with the full list. But I hear a lot of really good ideas from council candidates across each of the four wards, and the question that comes to my mind is that's a great idea, but what aren't we going to do to be able to afford that? So from my perspective, I think everything's on the table for discussion, and then the full council makes what's a best decision and benefits of all the ratepayers.
Mick Hyde?
I think 126 services to me sounds like a lot of services. And the question is, are people happy with these services? And that brings me back to, again, are we listening? Are we listening? Also, what I hear, for instance, when I talk to business owners is that they are saying, there's this and this going on in council. We can do that a lot better and cheaper. So why aren't we being asked? So I would like to question the number of services, whether we actually need to take a thorough look, as you say, Michael, that we need to get everything on the table, understand as councillors, spend a bit of time on this, and then again, ask around, find out, listen. We have to be more listening.
Sarah Hathaway?
Yeah, well, this question, do we think the incoming council will privatise services? Please vote for the candidates that are saying they want to fund, extend and defend services in this city. The council that we have is the council that you vote for. So, you know, if I can encourage particularly young people, people renting, it's not just the ratepayers. Please engage with this process. We're already hearing from candidates on this panel questioning the number of services that we have. Like, this is the direction that we're going in. And we live in a climate where we're constantly seeing budget cuts to education, health, housing. So, I mean, our council needs to step up. We need councillors prepared to lobby and advocate on behalf of Geelong to state and federal governments. I do acknowledge that local council cannot do everything. I do completely acknowledge that, but we need advocates. And it really concerns me that, you know, before people are even elected, they're saying, you know, 126 services are too many services. So vote carefully. That's all I can say.
George Ballas.
I'm to be convinced about privatising services, for one thing, but we are a growing region. We're over 233,000 people in the last census. We need to be mindful that we are going to explode our population in the number of 13 years in particular. That's the next sort of target date. So I would be looking seriously at some of the services that could possibly be delivered better by privatising those services if there are efficiency gains. If council can deliver some things better than others and at a cheaper cost, or expand the services that are used to be delivered in historical terms, we should do that. But I'll give you an example. Council do deliver HAC, which is home and community care services. Now, sometimes a council is not the person best suited to deliver those services. People like multicultural aged care services are in that space And they're not a private organisation. They're a community-based organisation and have got the expertise, the skills and the resources to expand that service. So just using one example, we could possibly look at others that fit that bill.
Melissa Cadwell.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. Look, I wouldn't want to see privatisation of services. I think that most services need to be retained by council and run appropriately and run efficiently and effectively within a fiscally challenging environment. So making sure that we're maintaining quality services, that we're running those services and providing the existing services as well and efficiently as we possibly can. I wouldn't want to see a cut to, home care services and Meals on Wheels. Those kinds of things are valuable and they're fundamental council services. I certainly wouldn't want to see those privatised. I think we lose control over the efficiency and effectiveness of those services if we privatise them. So, thank you.
Peter Mitchell.
I have to say it depends. I'm not aware of all the services that we offer. I would definitely say there are some that must be run by the council, but I'm certain there are some that are better done by a private sector. Really, the decision would come down to whether the private sector can deliver them, whether we can maintain that standard, make sure that they do retain the same levels of service, and that within the budget, because the council has a limited budget short of rates. We don't want to put the rates up either, so we can maintain these services. It depends on the service.
Alexander?
Whatever services are provided by the council must be done economically and efficiently. As your councillor, I'd look at the 126 services to see if there's any that are inappropriate for the council to provide and probably look if they should be replaced with others that are appropriate. But I've got an open mind on privatisation. Whatever's done, it must be done economically and efficiently.
Alan Saar.
Okay. Look, majority of these services the community obviously need and they utilise on a daily basis, or a regular basis, I should say. Like myself, being a mum, I use maternal health, and I think that's a big, valuable thing. By keeping rates capped, that will help ensure that services aren't privatised. I myself, if elected, will try my hardest to make sure that no services we have are ever privatised. Privatisation ends up looking greedy.
Eddie Contell.
Yeah, thank you. I believe that the efficiency and effectiveness review that was completed under Mayor Keith Fagg needs to be reignited, and we need to review that. That came out with some very tangible and logical and appropriate recommendations for us to look at. It's not about privatising services. It's about looking at how we can provide them more effectively and efficiently. George mentioned one example. Another is Diversitat. They do an absolute fantastic job in migrant processing. We don't need to be duplicating the services and, in fact, literally fighting for the funding that's out there. There are occasions where council and organisations such as Diversitat are going for the same state and federal funding that is available to support those services. What we're better off doing is partnering with organisations such as Diversitat, who do a great job in this space. We can support them to deliver those services, and we don't need to be involved in everything. Sometimes to be more efficient and effective, it's not about what you do, it's about what you stop doing, but not ceasing those services. As an old mentor of mine said, you need to stick to your knitting, and sometimes that's what we need to do.
Peter Murray.
It's probably a very difficult question to answer. We haven't got the knowledge that perhaps this Michael that's asked the question knows. I don't think any of the candidates are aware of any move to privatise any council services. And I would have thought it's the position of council to provide services, and they certainly put it out there that they offer the 126 different services. So generally I'm not supportive of privatisation, but having said that, it's a difficult one to answer until you get in there and see what services are about. So, as one previous candidate said, anything should be up for discussion. We go in there with an open mind and have a look at everything that's involved.
And Sarah Mansfield.
So, as someone who thinks about things in an evidence-based way, I like to know what the evidence is for any kind of decision. So if we're looking at privatisation, what's the evidence that privatising a service will deliver a better outcome for the community? And that includes in terms of cost and efficiency, but also quality of service, accountability, jobs. And I think a lot of the evidence that we have about privatisation of government services is that it often doesn't deliver good outcomes for the community. It can end up being more expensive. One of the big costs that comes with it is a loss of accountability as well. So when you have a problem with a council service, you have a lot of options to deal with that problem. You can complain to council, you can vote out the council, whereas once something's privatised, you have much less control over those services. So the community loses a say, they lose control over that service. That's a big cost, I think, and it's something we really have to take into account when we're making these decisions. So I really want to see that we deliver the best quality services we can, the best value services we can for the community, but they also have some say and control over those services. And look, if someone can show me evidence that privatising a service won't compromise those things, then fine, we can go ahead with it. But I think you'll find that in a lot of situations that won't be the case.
So I think we've got someone here in the audience that wants to ask a question. If we can get a microphone over to them, if we can't do it that quickly, I can go to our next online question. Yeah, we'll go to you, and then I'll go to you next. So go ahead.
My name is Joan West, and I live in Buckingham Road in Newtown. I'd like to say thank you to all the candidates, and congratulations on nominating. Well done. You're very brave. My question goes to a grassroots level of just the ordinary person, right? I know you've all got big plans for big developments in the future and Congress and centres and convention centres, etc. But in a block around my home, there are three houses that have been standing empty for over 12 months. One house has been vandalised with broken windows and the walls kicked in inside. Are there any plans for, as has happened in Melbourne councils, where they have used private contractors to mow nature strips, etc., and then added the cost onto the rate notice? Another thing is two empty shops a block away from my home. These have graffiti, broken fences, etc., and I'm sure the same happens in every suburb of Geelong. I'd just like to have comment on that. Thanks
for that, Joan. If you can just pass the mic down, because we've got someone further along in the row that will ask the next question. Listed first is Michael King.
Thanks, Joan. I thought that was a really interesting suggestion, what's happened in Melbourne in terms of enforcing absentee owners to make sure that the built environment as it should be. And I think that's a really good idea that can go to the incoming council. We've had instances of that before, from historic buildings being deliberately let go, and ultimately it's very difficult for council because there's a process you have to go through. But I think that process should be going through, and we're getting much better at that. And in terms of your question around really what's it mean at a grassroots level, I think from a council perspective it's really important that right across the whole region, not just this ward, that footpaths are fixed and brought up to the right level, that potholes are filled in, that sporting clubs are adequately resourced, and that services that the council does provide are high quality services.
Alex Sadner.
To me, it's up to the owners of the properties to look after them and keep them in good nick, and if they're not, they should be encouraged or forced to do so.
Freya Fidge.
Thanks, Joan, for your question. You mentioned in your question as to whether there is a plan, and a plan to sort of to simulate what's happened in some areas in Melbourne. I'm not aware of a plan as such, but as Michael suggested, I think it is a good idea, and I think we need to listen to the community to hear those ideas so that we can make some informed decisions and provide potential solutions.
George Ballas.
Compelling landowners or property owners to undertake the safety or maintenance of a property should be paramount, and I think things have changed in the right direction in the last 12 or 18 months in Geelong. Now, as far as charging those ratepayers for a service that must be done after several notices, sure, I'm all for that. Now, in terms of graffiti, Geelong City Council already have a policy in place. If you ring Geelong Council, and if it's on a common area, they will indeed come and provide some assistance in relation to the graffiti that's there to cover it up. May not do it themselves, but they will provide paint, but depending on where that is. If it's a boundary fence, they certainly do it.
Sarah Mansfield?
I think I'd agree with what the other candidates have said so far, and also agree with your suggestion that it may be worth looking at the models in Melbourne about how they've dealt with this issue. Certainly from talking to people in Geelong door knocking over the last few months, one of the issues that's come up is general maintenance of just residential areas. And it's obviously something that it sounds like we could do a better job with.
Melissa Cadwell.
Thanks for your question. Look, it's not something I suppose I know very much about specifically, but it's certainly something I'm willing to talk to you about if and when I'm elected. I'm really open to hearing from people what their concerns are. I know that there is a graffiti management process in council, as George has mentioned, so I would be supportive of you know, maintaining that. I'm a landowner, a ratepayer and a resident, so I know that it's actually my responsibility to maintain my property. I would hope that, maybe that's a bit ideological, but I would hope that all residents and ratepayers would actually do that. But I'm certainly open to investigating, opportunities.
Sarah Hathaway.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I'd definitely be interested in looking at what Melbourne Council's doing. And it's interesting that you raise this because the Daniel Andrews government's just introduced a whole range of legislation, I guess making restrictions tighter around property owners who are renting out. So it's giving rights back to renters around property maintenance and that kind of thing, which is really welcome. And, I mean, in terms of graffiti and grass mowing, I mean, we do have those services, but possibly that's an expansion for more jobs. We can extend those services, create more jobs. I mean, combine the grass mowing and the graffiti removal with tree planting and just general maintenance of our city. The last thing I want to touch on is you mentioned the three empty houses that have been empty for 12 months. We're seeing the same thing in Whittington. We've been door knocking in the housing commission areas around Solar Drive. There's a lot of empty 1-2-bedroom brick units, like really nice condition properties, but they're just being left empty. And personally, I find that pretty disgraceful given that homelessness is on the rise and young people are struggling to find affordable places to rent. So I think council has a role to play.
Peter Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Joan. Certainly the candidates have summarised pretty well, I think, the answers. But the Geelong City Council has made some progress of perhaps the last 12, 18 months in relation to abandoned derelict buildings. Previously, I think their hands were tied, but they're making some progress in enforcing the owners of those derelicts and abandoned buildings to improve them and bring them up to a standard suitable. And I'm also aware, as George has pointed out, in relation to the graffiti, that the one of the services that the council does provide, they get around and get off a lot of the graffiti. It's perhaps on the private buildings, on like abandoned milk bars on corners where you still see quite a bit of it, that perhaps we can lift our game in that area and make sure that that's taken away too, John.
And Peter Mitchell?
I think it sounds like everybody's agreement here. I would agree with everyone else. Something needs to be done about it. I have heard the concept of increasing rates slowly as houses remain derelict and charging more for the services.
I think your mic might not be working. Did you want to say something else, maybe through Mick's microphone?
Oh, sorry.
All right, we'll go to you, Mick, because you're actually next.
I can tell you any well-functioning society on this planet we'll have a certain level of control about how we take care of our houses and what our city looks like. If we want to live in a positive place where we enjoy living, then we have to look after our houses. That's absolute common sense to me. So when I talk about doing progress done properly, this is one of the aspects of it. To have a community that thrives, we need to look after how we, don't throw garbage in the street, for instance. Simple things like that. But when it comes to these houses standing empty, I think we have to realize it can be an aspect of speculation and things that are the way things are done, maybe not properly with house speculation. But it's also about that we live in a society which is in the middle of a big transition. So we need again to go out and talk to people about what we can do in this and get ideas from the community, both from the owners and from the people who live around, and have ideas maybe to how we could use these spaces. Maybe the owners could talk with neighbors and find out other ways to do things. So there's this thing about having an open mind, and I think everyone here agrees. We need to start a new kind of talk about this, because the transition is a big thing. We need to find new ways. It's unprecedented what's going on in our society, so we need to find new ways, new tools. We can only do that if we speak together face to face. This is communication that council needs to engage in.
Alan Saar.
Yeah, sorry. In regards to the first question, I don't quite understand that one as well, but I think maintenance should be up to the owner of the property, without any rates or services being, you know, as needed, but, yeah, not at a cost to you. In regards to the empty houses and left empty and derelict, I think it would be better to provide accommodation for homeless services, turn them into a positive and not have them looking so negative and dreary.
Eddie Contell.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for your question. I absolutely agree with you that whilst everyone can have these, you know, pie-in-the-sky projects, that it's the people that I talk to on the street, like you, it's about here and now. It's footpaths, it's drainage, it's graffiti, and that's the things that we need to be focusing on. When it comes to things such as that, this is where we've lapsed in the last 2 years, Joan, by not having a local councillor. In the future, when you have a councillor, regardless of who it is, hopefully you'll have a voice that can attend to those types of things for you, where council are not doing it as a matter of course, and certainly that's what I was doing with residents in the past. Secondly to that, in relation to delinquent and mishoused housing and properties, we need to get tougher on those lazy and land banking property owners that are just waiting for that next opportunity for that land to appreciate. As people have said, there's been some work done there, and there needs to be more done with the state to be able to fine these people heavily when they're just letting their properties go. Ritz was a perfect example of that.
Our next question comes from the audience. Thank you very much for waiting. Go ahead.
My name is Kathy Ryan. I'm a 30-year a resident of Drumcondra. Geelong Council was recently sacked. We have had very much negative publicity about this. The community is wondering what's going on. We're now going to have a brand new council coming in. I've been listening to you all, and you all have different backgrounds, different skills, different aspirations. You're going to walk into that council room for the first time. How are you going to work together and not have infighting? How are you going to make the council work for the people?
Thank you very much for that. And that's very similar to a question I got through the website from a Bill in Newtown who said, how do we ensure that the council chamber is free from members voting individual agendas instead of what's good for the city and its citizens in total? So, Sarah Mansfield, you're up first.
Thanks for that question. And I think when it comes to the issues that people have raised with me when I've been out talking to them, the number one issue is that they just want a council that gets along, that you know, demonstrates good governance and that is civil to one another, given the history that we've had with this council. Certainly, I think, I mean, at the candidate events we've had so far, everyone's been very respectful, so I think that's been a good start. You're always going to have differences of opinion, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think you can, I mean, it's important that different views are heard in a forum like a council. I think the main issue will be whether everyone can try and work together to achieve the best outcome for the community. It means people are going to have to negotiate. You're going to have to, you know, sometimes put aside your personal preferences to try and get the best outcome you can. That's the idea of you know, the style of political system we have is that everyone works together to try and get the best outcome. It might not be the outcome you'd love to see personally, but negotiation is really important. Certainly in my background, I've had to work with all sorts of different people across all sorts of different settings, often don't agree with them, but it's something that I'm quite experienced in doing and very comfortable in working in those settings to try and achieve the best outcomes.
Mick Hyde?
I can tell you, I have a Danish background. I've lived most of my life in Denmark. I just moved here to Geelong 5 years ago. Why I mention that is because when I come to Australia, I really believe that we here can learn something from the Danish culture when it comes to collaboration, because this is something we actually learn. It's not something we're born with. It's something we learn through school, through youth, and it's in Denmark something that's actually in the educational system. We learn how to find consensus on things. We learn how to negotiate, how to speak up for ourselves and to listen. All these things are missing in Australian politics. I'm sorry to say, but it's not working. So this is one thing I'm very passionate about, and there's one thing where obviously I think I have something to contribute in this council. How do we do it? Well, it takes time. Sorry to say again, it takes time. It will require that we take time aside to find out about each other, get to know one another. It's not something that's... finding consensus is not something that's done just like that. It's so easy to say, I want it my way, and if I can't have it my way, bang, I'll bang on the table and be angry, or I'll stab you in the back or something. And we make all these deals in the corridors and all that to make, like, shortcuts. But you know what? It doesn't work. We need that time. So this is something that is very important, because if we want stability and if we want certainty for business and everything else, we have to have a feeling, the community has to have a feeling that its leaders, council, are united. That's the only way we can create a city which is united. As many of you know, this is a very fractured city with many groups fighting each other and so on. We need to try and see how we can change that. This is what I'm really, really passionate about.
And Peter Mitchell, hopefully your microphone's working a bit better than before.
Okay now? Yes.
Sounds
thank
good.
You. I agree, both Sarah and Mick. What we need is council working together. We need to work as a team, as a group. I know from my point of view, to me that means treating each other with respect, listening when people speak, and actually understanding what the point of view is before you start contradicting people. That's what I do as a day job. My work is to balance competing requirements, competing things that people want, and find a workable solution. I expect and hope I'll be able to do that with the council, whoever they are.
Peter Murray.
Mike, I think the Danish must have learnt from the Australians when when Princess Mary, you took her over there, and I think she's educated the Denmarkians or the Danish. I totally disagree with what you said. It's the Australian way of getting on. Good, robust discussion around a council table is healthy, and I think that's what you know people expect. You don't want everyone to agree all the time, and of course you don't want everyone to disagree all the time, but good, robust discussion is what council is all about. And look, all the candidates here, we've been in each other's company 3 or 4 times now over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, and I think it's great. Everyone gets on really well with each other. You know, we have a chat, how are you going? How's your campaign going? And I've seen the other candidates in the other wards doing the same, you know, the ones previously before us here today. So it's about getting on and in each other's company. You don't have to have the same opinion to get on, but it's the Australian way of, you know, acknowledging you might have different views, but if we begin and become councillors, well, it's that responsibility you have then to sit around a table and then get on with each other. We've seen the past, we know the history, and I think the time is right. It's an exciting time for all of us, for all people of Geelong, to acknowledge what's going to happen. You know, it's exciting times, and I think by putting our hands up and becoming candidates, we acknowledge that, and we look to the future.
Alan Saar.
That's a great question, and thank you very much for that question. Look, last time I checked, there was no I in team. Teamwork is vital in this role, but I'd like to ensure that I listen to help my fellow councillors, and at times I guess there will be moments where we might have to agree to disagree on some things. As long as we all work to the same level of achieving the same goal, I'm sure we'll do a good job. It's about listening, respect, clear communication, and being positive, striving to achieve the one goal.
Melissa Cadwell.
Thanks, Cathy, for your question. I'd reiterate the points that my colleagues have made. So far, I've seen really respectful relationships amongst the group of people in front of you, and I think that will continue. I do think people want to move away from the past as future councillors and also members of the public.
I think respectful relationships are really important. I think one of the benefits of the model of council that we're going to have now is that we're going to have multiple councillor ward representation, so there'll be three people in each ward. So that will force people and encourage people to actually work together well. It also gives a really good voice to the community. So if one councillor is not available at some particular time, another councillor is going to be available. And I see that as really valuable for democracy. I think one of the things that I actually bring to this role is that in my current role, I work in public health research, ethics and governance at Melbourne Health. And formerly I was at Bowen Health and I was doing the same role on an ethics committee, which I oversee. You actually have people bringing different perspectives together. So people with scientific background and people with an ethical background and lay people and consumer representatives all bringing those perspectives together. And part of my role is to ensure that, you know, those meetings are actually run respectfully and that people are consulted and that people have an opportunity to voice their opinion and then providing a sort of a brokering role, I suppose, for managing those relationships, but managing that information and bringing it all together so that a shared decision is made. And I see that as a really valuable professional role that I can enact on council. So I feel really confident and comfortable with working in that space.
Michael King.
Thanks, Cathy. I think it's a really important question and goes to just how the new council will go. I'm terribly optimistic as I look across all the four wards and the 52 people have nominated. I've seen a really good cross-section of people with differing views, very diverse, and the people always get it right, however that pans out. So whoever the new 11 councillors are, I'm really optimistic that as long as they're respectful to each other, and I've felt that from the different forums we've had and across from other councils listening to them, I think that's a real key to the future. I think a new council around open and transparent meetings will lead the right type of culture right through to the council staff, and we just have to eliminate the bullying that's happened in the past, and I think transparency will. I believe whoever the new 11 councillors are, that there'll be conflict, there's no doubt about that, but that's not a bad thing. It's how it's managed, and as long as you're respectful, listen to people, argue your case rigorously and then get behind the decision that was made, whether you like that or not. And I think that will go a long way to setting Geelong in a really good way into the future. So, again, I think whoever the new councillors are, 80% of outcomes will probably, it's just how you go about it. So around how we address disadvantage, I think there's some formulas being applied by the administrators, and I'd urge the new council, whoever that may be, to look at that. That's really important. So I'm really optimistic about whoever the 11 councillors are and a future for Geelong.
George Ballas.
Yes, thank you. Can I say that our country is built on a cornerstone of democracy, which was handed down by the ancient Greeks, and I have Greek background, so I'm going to say that we are lucky that we even vote, because in some countries, and people in Geelong will know this, people from a non-English speaking background have come from countries where they are not allowed to vote. We have a say in things. For my part, I've always worked in a team in relation to my community life, in working life, most of the time in a team, sometimes on my own. But I am a person who believes highly in respecting one another. When we get into council, if we're, the three of us are lucky to be there, I would anticipate that we respect one another. Hopefully the discussions are robust and that we can come to some consensus of opinion on decisions that affect the wider community. Now, teamwork is one thing, respect is another, but there are two items there that have been put in place, and one is a code of conduct, which has to be followed. It's been brought to us in our training, and the other is good governance. Some of us here have been on boards and committees, some of us in corporate life understand those issues much better. So let's wait and see, but I hope it's going to be a new era.
Freya Fitch.
Thanks, Cathy, for your question. I share the same sentiments as the candidates here today. The campaign this year has been a really respectful one. I'm really enjoying learning from fellow candidates around their experiences and the knowledge that they have and what they'll bring to the team if elected. Collaboration is the way that we need to work together, and as Peter said, we need to have respectful, robust conversations, and that's how the best decisions are made. I think
in sharing information about the decision-making process also helps people understand why a decision is made. And often if you understand the why, then it can be a little bit more palatable in accepting that. So understanding the logic, method to the madness, and hearing those different viewpoints is what makes good decisions.
Alexander.
As your councillor, I'd go about achieving harmony with the new council and to produce good governments by listening and respecting their point of view of other councillors or my fellow councillors. In 2008, when I joined the city of Bendigo, we had a mixed bag of people. We had the oldest councillor, the youngest councillor, three staunch supporters of each of the major political parties, a retired maths teacher who had a haircut like Albert Einstein, who was affectionately known as Circus Head. So it was a recipe for disaster. But we set our goals, we worked harmoniously together, and during that 4 years we built a 1,000-seat, among other things, we built a 1,000-seat theatre, we enlarged the art gallery, we enlarged the library, we built a multi-storey car park, all for $58 million. We got $40 million in grants and the remaining $18 million was paid by the cash, positive cash flow from the car park. So I come from a background where we have had worked, we've started with a mixed bag, produced harmony and produced results, and as your councillor I'd go about it the same way here in Geelong.
Eddie Contell.
Thank you. Like the other candidates, I think we all appreciate and understand that there will be robust and passionate discussions around the council table, and the community expect nothing less than to us to passionately advocate and lobby for their causes, but that needs to be done in a respectful manner. If I'm fortunate enough to be elected to council, and provided the other councillors agree, I would push that within the first week we are absolutely trained and brought up to speed with our code of conduct, and that we all subscribe and sign up to that immediately. That we then collectively establish our values and what they will be for the rest of the term. We then create an environment where poor behaviour can be called out, whether that be by the councillors or the community, and the council must create that mechanism to be able to do that. And then we need regular communication scheduled, but I think we all agree that whether we're successful or not successful in life, that always it's always as a result of either good, poor, or lack of communication. So we need regular communication.
Sarah Hathaway.
Thanks, Cathy, for the question. I'd also echo what everyone here said. I think the behaviour from at least all the candidates here that I've interacted with has been really positive. We've even said to each other's faces we might not agree on everything, but I particularly enjoyed our experiences at the Humans in Geelong Expo. We got a lot of time to talk to each other out in that courtyard on Sunday. I would disagree that we lack a culture of collaboration. I think we've seen in Australia in times of crisis, whether it's bushfire or flood, the community always comes out. We just drop what we're doing and we help because that's what we do in this country. I think what we need to see from councillors is support and fostering of that in the Geelong community. I think there are pockets of crisis and of people struggling in Geelong, but as a city I think we're at a crossroads and we've got a really good opportunity now for councillors to play that role. And at the end of the, like in terms of clashing agendas, I have to say at the end of the day there's one agenda. And that's serving this community. And regardless of what any of us think as individuals, I think every decision, everything we do, we need to go out and consult. And not with the really expensive, fancy, you know, $200 an hour private consultants, with community members. If we do that, if we abide by the code of conduct, we'll be fine.
Thank you very much. It's 2 minutes past 12. You're listening to our Brownbill Candidates Forum on 94.7 The Pulse. Just a reminder that October is Subscriberthon month here at the station, and we'd love it if people could pledge their support so that we can continue to run great forums such as this. This is really grassroots democracy in action, where the voters can ask directly the candidates the questions that they want answered. So if you'd like to subscribe, see someone from The Pulse or reception on the way out. And just a reminder that when you do subscribe, you can nominate which program specifically you'd like to subscribe to. I may be biased, but Mitchell's front page, that is the one that you want to subscribe to. Now, we're just about there in terms of time, but there is one very quick question I will get in because I think theoretically it only really takes a yes or a no answer, but we'll see how it goes. This is from Sal. Will you categorically rule out here and now running in state or federal politics during your term if elected? Peter Mitchell.
Absolutely, yes.
Alex Sadner.
I will not be standing for state or federal parliament while a councillor.
Melissa Cadwell.
Yes, it's not a priority for me. I'm really focused on this local election. I've never run for council before. I've never put my hand up for anything like this, so I think I'll have enough on my plate just learning the job.
Michael King?
Yes.
Peter Murray?
Yes.
Freya Fidge?
Absolutely, yes.
Eddie Contell?
Yes.
Sarah Hathaway?
Yeah, if I'm elected as councillor, I won't be running for any other level of government.
Alan Sir?
Not while I'm on council, no.
Sarah Mansfield?
I have no plans.
Mick Ite?
As people may have noticed, I'm kind of an anti-politician. I'm not into politics whatsoever. This is the city where I live, and I speak for my three children. I want Geelong to be a great place to live, so no way am I going to go further into politics. I will be here.
And George Ballas.
It's not my aspiration, and the years are ticking by, so I don't think so.
And this is all being recorded. It's all on podcast. So in 2 years, if you come into the studio running in state politics, we will be playing it back to you, just so you know. All right, well, we'll move now to closing statements. I'm really sorry to all the questions that we had submitted through the website. There were so many questions, you wouldn't believe it, that we just can't get to. They were really good. But, yeah, we'd be here until midnight tonight, and even then we'd only still be halfway through if we continued. So closing statements, and I've just done the shuffle. Alan Saar is up first. You have 2 minutes.
Thanks, no time to prepare there. Thanks, Mitchell, firstly, for having us here today. I really appreciate being able to have a few words and answer a few questions. In closing, I'd just like to thank everybody for coming today, and please consider me as your number one vote. I'm happy to also and honest to say that I am a Labor Party member, an active member, and I'll do the best I can for you, and I'm here for you and available to listen any time for any concerns you may have. Thank you.
Freya Fidge.
Thank you for having me here today, Mitchell, and thank you to all the other candidates as well and the audience. Look, I'm excited for the new council. And if elected, I will continue that excitement, and I think Geelong is a great place to live. I look forward to what's in our future and look forward to being part of it.
Alexander.
I wish to thank the Pulse for the opportunity to answer questions from the community. I've no doubt that the new council, when it's informed, it will be something that the residents of Geelong will respect and be proud of.
Michael King.
If elected, I will stand for open and fully transparent council meetings, budget discipline, no increase in rates above the 2% cap and managing debt, attracting and retaining businesses and jobs for Geelong, delivering high-quality council services, additional cameras and lighting to address the current crime wave, and working together in a respectful and collaborative way with a focus on delivering outcomes for the people of Geelong. Those listeners out there, if you want to know more about why you should vote to me, visit michaelkingvote1.com.au. My vision, as I said before, is for a modern, smart city that embraces community diversity, offers an exceptional quality of life, and where high-quality council services are affordable. I believe the council has an important role in helping the disadvantaged, as well as providing the environment that will allow entrepreneurs and businesses to thrive. If elected, my main objective would be to ensure that council meetings are open and transparent, with minimal decisions made behind closed doors or by delegated committees. This will help drive a positive culture and respectful behaviour by both councillors and council staff. I support the 30-year plan with 4- and 10-year financial overlays. The clever and creative future is very close to the current state government, and I really look forward then to meeting with the new councillors, whoever they may be, coming to the table with substantial funding to implement the plan. I have the experience and passion to be part of a collaborative team to get great outcomes for Geelong. I'd like to like this opportunity to be your voice on council. Thank you.
Eddie Contell.
Yeah, thank you.
Look, Geelong's been without an elected representative now for far too long, so I'm just pleased that for our community that we now have an opportunity to have a council again. So if I'm honoured to be elected to the council to represent the Brownville ward, I guess my ultimate vision, my utopia, is to develop, build and foster a welcoming, diverse, safe, secure and healthy environment which provides all Geelong residents, visitors, investors an equitable opportunity to achieve their aspirations in all aspects of community, career, business and family life. So let's start this by electing a capable council, introducing free parking into our CBD, implementing a hard waste collection process, improving our community safety and security, and driving an efficient and effective council. So with that, I respectfully ask that you please vote one Eddie Contell. Thank you.
George Ballas.
If I'm lucky enough to be elected, I will be a voice for the people and I will vote according to the people and not to some political party. I have no affiliations or connections with any party, so getting back to one of those earlier questions. There's also another mechanism in council which is probably new that many people may not know about, and there will be two monitors to oversee the councillors and their conduct. So I propose to work part of a team and look for efficiencies at council. I've already made one proposal several weeks ago about relocating the offices into a central space without going to the expense of borrowing a vast amount of money. I'm for tourism and propose to increase tourism to this region rather than being a bypass to Great Ocean Road or Ballarine Peninsula. We have many great things here that people can enjoy. It's a great place to live, and as we see, it's a growing and prosperous city. We're going through a renaissance, if you like, going from manufacturing to service and health and education, and we need to prop that up, and we need good leadership, and we need a good team, so please vote George Ballas. Thank you.
Sarah Hathaway.
Thank you. Yeah, I too would like to say thanks to Mitchell and The Pulse for having us here today. I guess in summing up our policies, Sue Ball and I are committed to defending and extending services that many local residents rely on. We do want to address the cost of living, public housing, sustainability and climate change. And I have to say, if any candidate claims that such things are not council business, I think they need to be a bit more clever and creative about what councillors can do. Some candidates are saying that we need to get back to the basics, and I have to say that housing is a pretty basic need. If we cannot even house people in our community, you know, that's a concern. Having a living wage, you know, being able to put food on the table is a basic need. Feeling included and safe in the community is a basic need. There's a very toxic debate happening currently at a national level, which I won't get into, but it's concerning for me that my friends, you know, members of the LGBTI community are currently not feeling safe, and council needs to support them going forward. Sue and I will be a voice for all residents, the most marginalised, the pensioners, the single parent families, unemployed young people. I think in that sense we will bring a balance to local council. We represent people that traditionally haven't had a voice on council. So having said that, please vote one for Sue Ball and vote two for Sarah Hathaway. Thank you.
Peter Mitchell.
Hi. Like everyone else, thank you for having us here. Good chance to give our views here. My day job is a consultant. My title is actually solution architect, which means I design solutions, technical solutions for business problems. I've worked in lots of different organisations, lots of different areas, taking competing requirements from many different viewpoints and creating a workable and practical solution. Because I've worked in lots of different organisations, I've seen very many different structures and governance patterns. Some work, many don't. But there's a few common points amongst those that do work. Engagement with the people who are involved, talking to people, understanding, explaining where decisions come from, what's going on. Open, helpful and transparent operation.
getting the input from the people who are going to be affected, explaining what's going on, listening and learning before deciding, and then explaining the outcome. That is key. The other one that I think is a common factor is governance as a team, and this goes back to Cathy's question earlier. We're the coaches. As the council, the councillors, we are the coaches for the team. We're not the players. The council staff are the players. We need to guide them and provide direction, but they're the ones who do the work. We need to work together to give a consistent message to those people and help them and to help you to get the council working well.
Melissa Cadwell.
Thank you. So my name is Melissa Cadwell. Like you, I'm a resident and ratepayer in St Albans Park in the Brownville ward. I'm the product of a single-parent family. My mother was widowed at 35 with two young kids. Things were lean, but she managed to put me through high school and on to further education along with my younger brother. She instilled in me the value of hard work and individual contribution. That's why I'm campaigning on education and literacy programs for young children via library services and story times to help these children and their families get ahead, to become literate, confident, articulate and educated citizens. Maintaining and improving the quality of home care, library, childcare and leisure centre services and Meals on Wheels. Ensuring that local content, delivering jobs, apprenticeships and supporting local business is mandatory in council's hiring and tendering decisions. And delivering upgrades for sporting facilities to support the development of women's sports in Geelong. I would respectfully ask you to vote one, Melissa Cadwell, in the Brownville ward. Thank you.
Mick Hyde.
If elected, I, as I've mentioned today, would like to see it as my job as a councillor to be trying to build bridges between groups in the city and between people and between councillors in particular. I will work for creating a council where consensus is not a dirty word anymore and where we create and work on creating trust. And that is an ongoing process that never stops. Trust is a really, really valuable thing. Instead of control, instead of bureaucracy, we need to work on building trust. So, because in that way we can create that council that we need, which can lead and which can inspire and which can create optimism in the city and stability. If we want to kick goals, then we will need to communicate, speak together and know what each other thinks about these goals. And that's exactly the beginning of that dialogue was here, is here on paper in the Clever and Creative Future Vision. And I will definitely be talking more about this one, whether I'm elected or not. I think we have to hold our future councillors accountable for that this is actually the city speaking. At least 16,000 citizens have been involved in the creation of this. And this is how they would like to see us move forward. So if you vote for me, don't just think about me in a way, because we have a vote one for our future alliance that we have created around supporting this. So that's a group of independent candidates. Find out who they are and use your vote carefully in that way so that we can take this opportunity that we have now. It's really a watershed moment for Geelong, I think, that we can, as voters, we have a unique opportunity to create a council that will go somewhere with having a long perspective and having integrity, honesty and speaking up for the community.
Sarah Mansfield.
Thank you, and thank you to Mitchell and the rest of the Pulse staff for giving us this opportunity today. Really appreciate it. My vision for Geelong is a healthier, more sustainable and more inclusive city. And as Mick has just pointed out, that's a vision that was shared by over 16,000 local residents when they put together this plan for our future. And it's one that I'll certainly be committed to implementing if elected as a councillor. I think it gives us some clear direction, certainty and stability. And if we can all as a council rally around this vision, it will help to guide the decisions we make. Another thing that residents, as I've said, want is improved governance, culture and behaviour from our councillors. And I'm a respectful and collaborative worker. My day job is to listen to everyday people and work with them. I've also worked in a range of other settings, and I would aim to work with my fellow councillors, regardless of their political persuasions, to achieve the best outcomes and results for our community.
While I bring strong values, especially around equity, fairness, sustainability, and the importance of evidence, I'm also by nature a very pragmatic person, and I recognise that negotiation is often required to get the best outcomes. I also want to see greater transparency regarding council decisions, and I think there's a lot we can do to better engage residents and local businesses in important council decisions. The last thing I'd like to say is that I know that there were a lot of other questions that people wanted to ask, and I'd really encourage them to send them through to me. I'd be really happy to address them. They can call me, they can email me. You can contact me via the details that are on my website, my Facebook page. There are links to those pages as well through the Pulse website that'll and the podcast, I imagine, that'll go up after this event. Thanks very much.
And Peter Murray.
Thank you, Mitchell, and I would also like to thank the Pulse and yourself and all the other candidates for this experience and wish them all the best. Geelong is on the road to recovery and is a city in transition. It is rebuilding and re-establishing itself as a vibrant region for families and businesses. There is a refreshing optimism in the air. There are exciting times ahead with both public and private sectors showing a renewed confidence in our future through expansion and the new investment. Local government has a major role to play in this journey. In fact, it has the opportunity to show strong, energetic leadership while serving the best interests of the community. With no political connections, I offer a totally independent voice on council and intend to work tirelessly for ratepayers at the grassroots level, as well as helping implement the city's long-term vision. Through proven leadership skills, life experience, and I believe a clear understanding of the community's expectations, I'm committed to enhancing Geelong as a place in which to live, work and invest. So for the Brown Bull Ward, vote one, Peter Murray.
And to those in the audience, please thank our candidates. So once again, just a reminder to subscribe and to subscribe to Mitchell's Front Page. Leo might be a good person to see on the way out to do that as part of our Subscribe-a-thon month of October. I also want to thank the people behind the scenes and also in front of the scenes from the Pulse who have helped to put these forums on today, starting with Dave Steele there behind the panel pushing the buttons. Well done. Then in no particular order, Justin, Leo, Nathan, Simon and Robert back in the studio. Thank you to those people. And we've got such a succinct bunch of candidates here today that his role wasn't really needed that much, but Liam on the bell has done a great job with timekeeping. As Sarah pointed out, our website's a very good resource, mitchellsfrontpage.com. I don't believe there's any other service where you can actually go and listen to the candidates speaking, listen to audio. We'll be uploading the podcast of today onto that website. You can also click through from there through to the candidates' social media. So for those people that didn't get their questions out there, feel free to get in touch with the candidates via that mean. So thank you very much, everyone. It's been a great forum, and I look forward to putting on more of these events in the future.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.